Good morning. I am a 14-year-old Brazilian boy. I know the street isn't safe, but I can't go home. I'm a 17-year-old African-American guy. I don't want to be in a gang, but all my friends are. I'm a 16-year-old Latina girl. I want to graduate, not have a baby. I have a voice, but can you hear me? Adolescents, they are full of energy. They are full of life. But when society thinks about adolescents, we generally focus on their problems. And they are real problems. Violence, pregnancy, dropout. What we often forget is that the adolescents care about these problems too. And they have ideas for changing their situation, for reducing their risks, for strengthening those protective factors that we all know matter so much. The challenge that many of us face is realizing the best way to pull this information from the adolescents, to learn their ideas, and to help them use these ideas to inform policy, to make positive changes happen. Adolescents talk to each other all the time, with their hands, with their mouths. Think about how fast they can text message a friend, and you know what I'm talking about. But they aren't so free to talk with adults, which policymakers and most of us in this room happen to be. We need creative strategies that draw adolescents in and give them a voice that can influence. PhotoVoice is a tool that does just that. In our presentation, we will describe to you what PhotoVoice is, where it came from, and how it can be used. We will share examples of PhotoVoice projects with adolescents in Brazil and in the United States. These will include examples of advocacy and policy change resulting from PhotoVoice projects. We will conclude our presentation with some tips about using this method. PhotoVoice brings people together. Imagine a group of adolescents hanging out with a good purpose, to talk about a problem they care about, to document that problem using photographs that they take. PhotoVoice gives adolescents an opportunity to engage. Think of the adolescents that you know well. What would they enjoy more? A focus group conducted to find out what they think about their neighborhood? A one-to-one interview with an adult asking all the questions? Or a project that gives them the cameras, asks them to go out, walk through their neighborhood, and photograph the things that they like or do not like? Dr. Caroline Wang is credited with coming up with the term PhotoVoice. Photonovela, photojournalism, these are related but different photo documentary type terms. What's unique to PhotoVoice is the foundational work of Freire and of feminist theory, the emphasis that PhotoVoice has on giving voice to those who traditionally have not had a strong voice. True to public health, the possibilities of PhotoVoice do range from the individual level to the system level. We would argue that it is the system-level use of PhotoVoice that will maximize its potential influence because policy can be changed, and we know this has the potential to reach so many. Now that we have a sense of what PhotoVoice is and where it has come from, let's look at some examples of how it's been used with adolescents. In Brazil, cameras were given to homeless boys living on the streets in order to understand what life was like from their perspective. The boys' pictures portrayed how they saw the streets on many different levels, hanging out with friends, fighting other gang members, using drugs, avoiding the police, and missing their families. This project provided insights that were used locally in Brazil to inform policies. Specifically, the policies within the institutions that were trying to serve these youth. They wanted to give these youth a safe place to live until they could return home or until they were adults. The institutions realized that they needed policies that would provide for the outlets that the boys said they needed, specifically things that they were valuing on the streets, like a fun place to play the sports that they love. It seems obvious, but when resources are scarce, Simple things will get cut unless you've documented or put a policy in place that it's important and it's needed. In Minnesota, whoops, I'm sorry, this is the slide that goes with some of those, so I'll give those to you. In Minnesota, cameras were given to recently immigrated Latina and Latino adolescents. They were given instructions to take pictures of healthy and unhealthy influences on their lives. Before taking the pictures, the youth each did a one-to-one interview with an adult. They were asked about health influences, and many of the youth talked about things like healthy food and exercise. However, there were many things that the youth photographed that they never talked about in those initial interviews. We would have lost very rich insights had we only conducted the interviews. For example, youth took pictures of key environmental influences such as parks and garbage. But in that first interview, they did not talk about these things. They did focus on the substances, the things that come to mind easily. But it was when they went out into their neighborhoods that they remembered the things like the parks as places to relax. Sometimes adolescents, especially those who have recently immigrated or for whom English is not a first language, they may struggle with finding the words to express their ideas. They may struggle with feeling comfortable enough to share those ideas verbally. Photo Voice is going to give adolescents the freedom to express and explore their ideas in their own time and space. When they have this freedom, the insights that we gain are very profound. Now, Dr. Strack is going to describe his work on the East Coast.
I love technology. Caroline and I did not know each other until today. We just met. And it goes to show you the power of how we can use our technology to connect with each other and share and grow in our own interests and our own techniques to kind of move us to the next level. So I'm going to spend a little time talking about how we've used Photo Voice, but kind of building on what Caroline had talked about. And in this instance, it was in Baltimore, and we really had no bounds to what the youth would photograph. And so we asked them to document the assets and deficits of the community. And as a result of that, we've got a lot of community building within that youth population and some efforts that came out of growing how they can influence the policy within their own community. This slide itself, you can see a group of youth using the showed method where they put the photograph up, basically describe what's going on in the photograph, talk about how it relates to their lives, and to begin the seed conversations about what they can do about it, which is really, like Caroline's already illustrated or talked about, the strength of the methodology. But that doesn't happen by magic. It happens by a concerted effort to maintain that policy focus as an end goal. The middle photograph, I think, is also worthy of talking about. In this project, we enlisted a professional photographer from the local Baltimore Sun, and that journalist was really helpful in helping the students shape their thinking about how photography can be used, the power of the image, but also, in very importantly, especially when you're working with adolescents, but with anybody, the ethics that goes along with the capturing an image, and some actually the legal concepts that go around photography within a public exhibit. As an example, this photograph is one that was in the article we wrote up on this particular project. Josh Jones writes, "Holland Town Middle School is a bad school. The ceiling is falling apart, and it's not very good." When he wrote that caption, or had that photograph, he actually did not want to include it in the exhibit because he didn't want people to know that he went to a bad school. We encouraged him to include it, and sort of the dialogue process and the growth process that goes along with a young person, to say, no, this is exactly what we need to get out there, and this is exactly what the policymakers need to hear about. So he relented and put it in there, and the result was that one of the exhibits, the comptroller for the state happened to be at the youth center where the exhibit was held at the youth teen center. And he saw this photograph and took note of what was going on and went ahead and made some phone calls to get someone to take care of what was going on in Joshua's school. Now, it was really just happenstance that this comptroller for the state, who handles the money, the budget for the state, was there. But it's the kind of illustration of how we need to get messages to policymakers. In this case, it was really accidental. But in a true Photo Voice project, you would want to build in those exposures so they're not accidental, so they're very mindful and planful. This is another photo that I think is a powerful illustration of the method. If you look at it, what do you see? You see a cigarette machine with a young, very young person standing at the entrance of a bar. And this young person writes, "I took this picture because I'm concerned about this situation. There's a 6-year-old boy in a bar with a 17-year-old sister who was drinking. He was right next to the cigarette vending machine and could have access to the cigarettes as well as myself or any other teen around my neighborhood." Now, the thing I wanted you to see is that photograph by itself had one connotation. The message written in the words of a young person adds a contextual element to the photograph that makes it come alive. And I'd argue that in any photo voice project, you can't do it without that contextualization. And that's sort of what Freire talks about. The pictures that Freire used were codes, but the dialogue was the dynamics of the system. So you can't have photographs without having that dialogue, without having it articulated in a way that can move people. In North Carolina, we've continued the methodology. Here we used state tobacco settlement funds to deal with tobacco's influence on young people and communities. And in this project, we worked with folks from the General Baptist State Convention, which is a group of 2,000 African-American churches in North Carolina, one of the largest groups representing that community. So here we were really trying to inspire people to look at how tobacco influenced their lives. The whole process of how you get people up to speed about the worth and the merit of this as an issue. But then also, more importantly, and I'll talk about it in our closing slide, the idea that you encourage this growth and development of young people, in our case, to really see how they have a voice. They might not recognize that. They might not know that their visions of their community need to be put out there to other people who may not be of the community. And so that's a significant part of it. The young man on the right there is getting an education about how tobacco influences their body, and each stick representing a different health system within their own body that is influenced by tobacco. And in this case, just parenthetically, the young woman giving the presentation was a group of activists in the state called Question Why that had been going on for years, and they do a great job of educating folks about tobacco. A couple more illustrations. In this picture, there are two people joking around having fun. They're playing music with the words, a cigarette ban. But really, the cigarette company has this picture to target black couples, music lovers, and people who like to have fun. Every day, hundreds of people walk by the sign. Every day, a few more people are pulled into the trap of cigarette companies. But we need to take place of sign up somewhere around this one and tell people about the real effects of tobacco. In this one, the young person says, "This is a picture of a man smoking on the job. This man is really poisoning his lung by doing this. Other people on the job are affected by secondhand smoke, which is just as bad as smoking the cigarette. I don't think that workers should be allowed to smoke on the job." As a result of this photo and a young mother of a participant, she approached her company, told him about what she felt about secondhand smoke, and that facility went smoke-free. An illustration of other ways to use photographs in a project here, we created postcards that were sent to legislators, encouraging them to increase the tax on cigarettes in North Carolina, which did go from 5 cents a pack to 40 cents a pack. I'd like to say it was part of our project, but I'm sure it wasn't, but we were part of a larger effort to make that happen. This is an illustration of a tobacco-free church ground sign that a young person created. As a result of his effort, other churches caught wind of it, and I think at last count we had over 40 churches that have signed the pledge and have put up signs on their properties. So getting to sort of what we want to have a discussion about at the end if we have time is thinking about ways to use this methodology with young people. And there are some key things that we've learned. Carol and I have talked about this. Fundamentally, the first thing with adolescence is to really recognize the developmental stage of adolescence, and that a chronological age is not your best marker for developmental stage. So you need to really think that through. To be diligent to the monitoring and ethical use of photographic images and the safety of participants. This is really paramount. We have techniques and strategies that we use to encourage people to represent an idea without photographing an individual per se. You know, maybe it's rather than taking a picture of someone doing a drug deal, you take a picture of a corner where drug deals happen. But really thinking that through, because there is some ethical considerations you really need to pay attention to. Ensuring youth see themselves as experts, and this is really key. This is where the rubber hits the road in terms of making a successful project or a project that's an art project to get them to see how they are the change agents in their community. To provide links to community networks and policymakers that youth may not have initial access to. And again, this is the youth don't have all the understanding of how a city municipality works, the influences and the stakeholders within a community. And you really need to provide that outside voice to encourage them to see how they fit in with the bigger solution. And then finally and ultimately, and I think I love Michael's slides. I knew Michael when he was at Hopkins. I'm glad to see him here and continuing his work, but to have fun. And I think their presentation is a great illustration of how fun and engaging projects that sees the strength in adolescents as opposed to their deficits really is a great way to move them along. Thank you.